Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's April 30th, 2015, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but I just thought that I'd go ahead and mention it, only because of everything that is just happening today. That Bruce Jenner is not a woman. Bruce Jenner is not a woman. And will never be a woman. He will never be a woman. Now, it's so weird when you watch the news. If you watch any kind of a talk show, opinion show, any one of those things or news, when they're reporting about someone who is either, I don't even know the terms, you know, I don't really know them, I'll be honest with you, transgendered, you know, I don't know, whatever. The age-old Christine Jorgensen, who is a famous man that became a woman. No man that was a man has ever become a woman. And no woman who is a woman has ever become a man. You can dress like them, act like them, talk like them. Even now with some fancy surgeries, you can quasi be like them, but you will not be one. Man cannot make something be something it is not. We cannot do it. We can mimic it. We can make something that looks that way. You could even have a very, 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 quote, pretty boy be dressed up and changed up and look like a woman. I mean, young man. What I'm saying is you may have someone that's very feminine, very pretty, very nice features and dress them up and make them look. They're still going to be male, no matter how many hormones, no matter anything you put in. So all of that because there's it's such big news that's going on here. Here's the odd thing. Man's still trying to become something, yet he's not under his own power or by his own devices in his own way. We're trying to make things happen that aren't. We're trying to make things appear as though they are something that they are not. One of the big things that we're trying to do is make things appear good when they're bad. Make things appear positive when they're not, they're negative. Everything that's happening, every single thing that's happening in Baltimore is insanity, no matter what it is. I know yesterday I talked about the woman that everybody is lauding and applauding today as being a hero. And I understand people reaching and trying to say, look, at least what she was doing, the woman that was trying to get her son, who was, had his hoodie pulled up and pulled tight and was trying to get involved in this stuff, she's slapping him and beating him. Do I agree with that? No. Do I agree with corporal punishment? Yes, to a degree. But that really wasn't even as bad because she wasn't damaging him physically as much as she was emotionally trying to get a hold of him. Was her vulgarity, her vile vulgarities. Now that shows the kind of atmosphere that young man's in at home, let alone, you know, out in the street with his homeboys. So she's not to be the model of someone that would you know, be concerned about their children and wanting to get them off the streets. That's not a good model. You can have corporal punishment, you can have discipline, you can have physical discipline without vulgarities, without hatred, without violence, without meanness. I mean, if you didn't know what was going on, you'd just think she was another rioter because she wasn't acting with dignity, you know, with integrity. There's just none there. And I'm saying that there's been no real apology for her vileness. I understand what she's saying. I like the fact that she said she doesn't want her son to be a Freddie Gray. I understand that. That's good. Those are good things. But it's never right to do wrong, to do right. You do right to do right. She could have gone in there and got him out of there. In fact, if she'd have grabbed him by his ear, she could have got into that hoodie and yarded him away and said, "You're coming with me, young man." I mean, it would be easy to get behind that, but I can't support and encourage other people to act the way she did, because she was acting just like everyone else. Now, that said, I printed this out. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very deep. But let me see the time. You know, it came out in the Daily Mailer this morning at 1 o'clock. So it's a fairly new article. But it kind of shocked me because I haven't heard anything about this. I kind of like to keep my fingers on the pulse, and I haven't heard anything about this. I've heard some general ideas about this and some mentions. Rick Warren has said that he believes in a type of or pro, he doesn't coin this phrase really, but it has been used, of Chrislam, of, you know, Christianity and Islam living side by side, not necessarily forming a new religion, but living side by side. Okay, whatever, you know, I just kind of go, yeah, right. Just listen to what this is. The Tri-Faith Initiative of Omaha, Nebraska. The Tri-Faith Initiative of Omaha, Nebraska. Now, here's what's interesting. Ecumenicalism, in other words, we all believe in the same God. We all blah, 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 all this stuff. That what it does is it legitimizes or makes legitimate those that are illegitimate. It brings them into the fold. It's like calling Mormons your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not. They're not. They are not our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are in the brotherhood of man. They are no different than any other man or woman in the brotherhood of the human existence. But as far as faith, in the faith, they are not brothers and sisters. They do not worship the same God. They don't worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has one son, one begotten son named Jesus, and he's not the brother of Satan. And that's what Mormons believe. So they believe in a different God, even though they may call him by the same name. So with this tri-faith, I go, what is it? And I kind of knew, but the highlight of it is this. Currently underway in the heartland of America is an experiment in interfaith dialogue and coexistence. The Tri-Faith Initiative of Omaha, Nebraska. Now, their goal is to have a synagogue and a mosque and a church, Christian church, located on a common piece of land, each with its own separate building. And then the Tri-Faith hopes to later add a fourth building as a shared Tri-Faith center. Now, here's what's interesting. The location for this venture is 35 acres of this Sterling Ridge Development in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, it would be weird if people were just talking about that. That'd be pretty odd, you know, but it's kind of ecumenical blending, everybody go together, the Chrislam attitude. But that's not what this is. This is so far beyond that. This is millions of dollars have been invested. Millions of dollars have been invested in this process. And one of the people that's interestingly kind of behind it is Susie Buffett, the daughter of multi-billionaire Warren Buffett. Now, if you're a billionaire, for you to give, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 or, you know, $1 million, $2 million to a certain charity is really nothing. I mean, if you're a millionaire, it can get up there. But if you're a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, you know, $1 million is just really to, like, you and I, $5 or $10. It's not a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but it isn't a lot of money. But if you were really behind something, you'd really, I think, pour yourself into it. You'd be willing to put a lot into the situation. Well, I don't know if I actually have the amount here. Yeah, here's the amount. Because, like I said, there's a huge article. And the problem was that what has been bought so far is land for the synagogue, and it's actually built and they're meeting there, a land for the church, which ends up being the countryside community church, which is, it's an Episcopal church, countryside community church. So And that's the church that Susie Buffett is a member of, supposedly a member of. So, but they haven't built the mosque yet. And the reason is, number one, Allah is angry with Jews and Christians, and they are misguided because they believe Jesus is the Son of God. Surah 1:7 out of the Quran. Two, Muslims are commanded not to make friends with Jews and Christians. Surah 5:51, although Muslims can pretend to be friends of Christians, if the situation dictates, Surah 3:28. Jews are among the worst enemies of Islam, Surah 5:82. Muslims are commanded to fight Jews and Christians until the Jews and Christians pay protection money and willing to submit and feel themselves their subdued or slaves, Surah 9:29. Allah curses the Jews and the Christians, Surah 9:30, and Jews and Christians are among the worst creatures and will abide in the fire of hell, Surah 98:6. Now, that's just a little bit, and then it goes on, there's more. One of the things is, there's a writing that says Jews and Christians are each only worth half of a Muslim. I mean, they're half people. You know, it just goes on and on and on. So what that lets you know is they can't do it. And this guy that wrote this article sent an email to both of the Jewish group and the Christian group saying, how are you ever going to get Muslims in there? Because they're not allowed to do that. And so he sent the email three or four times, hasn't heard anything back, and probably won't. But here's how much money has been invested so far. In December 2011, the Episcopal Diocese bought 6.35 acres of land in the Sterling Ridge area for $1.3 million. Tri-Faith Initiative organization itself purchased 3.6 for $800,000. Rabbi Azrael and the Congregation Temple of Israel, or Temple Israel, purchased 13.5 acres of land for $3 million. And in August of 2013, the congregation moved into their new synagogue, which is 58,500 square feet in size. And it features stone from the Jerusalem quarry and artwork done by an international group of artists. So you have literally millions of dollars already invested. The Countryside Community Church is going to build their church, and it's going to estimated about $25 million. They've already got $16.1 million in financial commitments from their 1,500 members. But Susie Buffett is only really committed $191,000, which is kind of weird, but yeah, whatever. You have basically millions upon millions of dollars have been spent. They've did this already, and many millions more will be spent by non-Muslims. And what do they want to see? A Tri-Faith Initiative success. And the group that is the Muslim group that they were trying to bring in is the AIISC, now known as the American Muslim Institute. And they spent $800,000 buying 3.85 acres in the Sterling Ridge area. So there's a lot of stuff in the mix to try to get this to happen. And you can go on and on, and there's more and more. There's so much in here that it's really deep. But my point is, why are they trying to put together something that's fake? Why are they trying to put together something that's contrived? Why are they trying to put together something that, quite honestly, as far as Islam is concerned, is forbidden? Why would they do that? Because there's an underpinning of trying to make something be something it cannot be. Man creating things that cannot be created. They're fake. They're posing. They look one way on the surface, yet there's something else below. And quite honestly, this is not very far below the surface. It's the way all the subversive groups have done for years upon years upon eons upon decades upon millennia. Thinking back, think about Hitler and what he did. And if you hear some of the things he said, they made so much sense. We look back and have 20/20 hindsight and see this creep, and we hear the name, we see his face, we see his mustache. It's just horrific. But at the time, it wasn't that way. In fact, think of the mustache that Charlie Chaplin wore. We need to understand and know that it's become that, but at first it wasn't like that. So we need to look around and see what is actually happening. If you see what's happening right now in Baltimore, it's actually happening in other cities. Tomorrow is May Day in Seattle, and I hate to say it, and I'm not trying to be prophetic at all because I don't have that gift. I can read the word to you, but I'm not going to try to predict anything prophetically. Here's the bottom line. Things happen in Seattle on that day. It could go south. It could go south everywhere. People could just start just for no reason. They're screaming. They're cursing. They're violent. I watch a six-minute compilation of many different videos that were put together from cell phones, from iPads, from video cameras, from news services, and they just put it all together back to back. And you can't tell anything about Freddie Gray. You don't hear anything about the police not doing a good job in their arrest of Freddie Gray and his unfortunate demise because of a broken neck and a severed spinal cord. None of that. You just see people jumping up on police cars and smashing the windshields in and throwing things at everybody and fighting amongst each other, just rampant in the streets. It's hard to believe that it's actually happening without anything that really has sparked it. I mean, really. And then even more than that, nobody's talking about the thing that sparked it as much as they are just walking into stores and shopping. One kid walking down the street with two containers of Pringles chips, a gallon of Arnold Palmer iced tea, and a package of diapers. I guess he was just shopping in the CVS, and you know, as it was burning. This is just a huge picture of the heart of man without Christ. The ending words of the book of Proverbs for chapter 30 were basically personal words and things that were just kind of like added in, surmising. And listen what it says. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, the oracle, the man declares to Ithiel and Ucal, surely I am more stupid than any man and do not have the understanding of a man. Neither have I learned wisdom, nor do I have the knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven and who descended? Who has gathered the winds in his fists? Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name or his son's name? Surely you know. It's interesting. That's in Proverbs, thousands of years before Christ, and his name is Jesus. Says his son's name. Every word of God is tested, verse 5. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you, and you be proved a liar. Two things I've asked of thee. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee who say, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of God. You see, people that have too much don't even care about God. People that don't have enough, they don't even care about God. Neither one of them care about God, but in certain ways. The rich say, hey, who? What? Who's the Lord? And the poor that have nothing, they don't care, and they run into stores and go shopping for Pringles and Arnold Palmer iced tea. Do not slander a slave to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. There's a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. There is a kind, oh, how lofty are his eyes, and his eyelids are raised in arrogance. There is a kind of man whose teeth are like swords, and his jaw teeth like knives, to devour the afflicted from the earth and the needy from among men. You watch these riots and you see what's going on. People fighting amongst each other. People hurting each other, not just the police, but hurting each other. The leech has two daughters. Give, give. There are three things that will not be satisfied. Four that will not say enough. Sheol and the barren womb. Earth that is never satisfied with water. And fire that never says enough. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother. The ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the middle of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wrong. Here we are again in the summation, in the last chapter before the chapter about the capable wife, which is actually the last chapter of Proverbs. He's saying, look, adulterous woman, again mentioned in the Proverbs, stay away from her. Under three things, the earthquakes, and under four, it cannot bear up. Under a slave, when he becomes a king, that's a nightmare, and a fool when he is satisfied with food. Under an unloved woman when she gets a husband, and a maidservant when she supplants her mistress. Four things are small on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are not a strong folk, but they prepare their food in the summer. The badgers are not a mighty folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet all of them go out in ranks. The lizard you may grasp with the hands, yet it is in kings' palaces. There are three things which are stately in their march, four which are stately when they walk. The lion, which is mighty among beasts and does not retreat before any. The strutting cock, the male goat also, and a king when his army is with him. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have plotted evil, put your hand on your mouth. For the churning of milk produces butter, and pressing the nose brings forth blood. So the churning of anger produces strife. We are seeing that happen right now. It's happening right now in Baltimore, and it's happening around the world. And it's going to continue. It will continue to happen as long as man places himself at the pinnacle of everything. And we think we can change things, and we can think we can make things happen that should not happen. When we start blending in other faiths with our faith in Jesus Christ, we have just completely undone our faith in Jesus Christ. It's through faith alone, by grace alone, and Christ alone. It's a very, very extremely narrow, very narrow way and a very small gate, and few are those who enter by it, but everyone's invited. No matter what your past has been, your future can be secure in Christ, but you must come to Christ. You don't come to some other religion and get blended in. We don't make something happen. We don't change it. We don't change it up. This is the same, in a little bit different way, of the Judaizers, as the ones that said, okay, you can be a follower of the way, you can be one of these Christians, but you got to do all this other stuff too, because if you don't do this other stuff, you're not truly a Christian. You know, you got to be saved, then you have to supply everybody with all the information of being following every aspect of the Jewish tradition, including circumcision, including all the festivals and everything, and all the things you do. You have to do all those, because if you don't, then you're not saved. No, man has got to stop trying to make it happen, and we have to start listening to God. We have to realize there's some things that are just right in front of our face, and if we are experienced in it, we know it for a fact. If you take cream, if you don't believe this, if you've never done this, if you're not a country person, go to the grocery store and get a hold of a jar, mayonnaise jar or something at home, and have the lid, okay? Wash it out real good and set it down. Go to a grocery store and buy some whipping cream in the carton, you know, like Dairy Gold, okay? I don't care if it's super homogenized. Bring it home and pour that heavy cream, get the heaviest, and pour it into that mason jar, that mayonnaise jar. Put the lid on and sit on your couch and shake it as you're watching TV. Watch it turn into butter. You'll be just shaking, thinking you're sloshing something, and all of a sudden you'll feel something go clunk, 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 and you'll see like cleary kind of milk, and then you'll see a glob of something, and that glob of something is butter. So what it says is the churning of milk produces butter. It really does. You can watch it happen. Make your own butter. It's pretty expensive. It's much cheaper to buy butter. Put a little salt on that, press all the water out. You got some really cool butter. But the Bible tells you the churning of milk produces butter. If you don't like that one, have somebody smash you in the nose. See if some blood comes out. Because that's what it says here. Okay? So if those two are true and we can prove both of them, then look at the last one. Churning of anger produces strife. People don't like strife. And everything we see going on in the streets today is churning up anger. And people, for the most part, don't even know why. What are you doing? I don't know. Having fun. Just doing what everybody else does, or blah, 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 blah. We have got to stop trying to create things. We've got to stop trying to make things into something that they cannot be made into. That's why I started out with Bruce Jenner is a man. He's not a woman. Do not refer to him as she. Oh, but Pastor, that's a nice thing to do, you know, when they made the transition. We don't want to make them feel horrible. I don't care. If I met somebody and they look like a woman to me and they introduced as a woman and I didn't have a clue, I'd call her. But if it's Bruce Jenner, okay, it's always going to be Bruce Jenner. That's the bottom line. His name is Bruce Jenner. Call him anything you want. He's not a woman. He's a messed up dude. Especially when you go manipulating and cutting and carving on your body and changing everything that God set up, you're messed up. I don't know how you can find a doctor on the face of this earth who would do any surgery like that. Mutilation surgery like that, it's insane. But that's the way the world is. That's what they want. I don't want any part of it, and I hope you don't either. It's going to be, let's see, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. April 4th. No. I'm looking at April and looking at the thing. It won't be April 4th again. That'll be Groundhog's Day, Murray, if we did that. So it'll be the 4th of May, May 4th, and we'll see you then. I guess that's, yeah, Monday, May 4th. Yeah. I don't know. Is something happening that day? I don't know. Who knows? The Lord will still be on the throne, whether we want to believe that or not. So you guys have a smashing, outstanding weekend. Don't smash anything, but have an outstanding weekend. And a good time in the Lord. By the way, if you're reading through Proverbs tomorrow, you start in Proverbs 1. Start over in Proverbs 1, because it's the first. And if you need to know where you're going to read, just know what the date is. Try and figure out the date, okay? And then you go right to that proverb. If it's the 7th, go to Proverbs 7. If it's the 14th, go to Proverbs 14. Try and go through that. Try and do it in a year, see what happens. I'll encourage you off and on as we go through this. Not sure where we're going to go on Monday, but we're going to be doing something that's going to give us some direction of living according to the Word of God in today's world. And that's what we're going to do every time we get together. So you guys have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on the 4th.